First Franklin Financial is now open in Millington, offering fixed-rate personal loans up to $15,000 with payment plans to fit any budget. Our same-day approval makes it easy to get your money fast. So the next time you need a personal loan, we're located on Wilkinsville Road in Millington, or visit us at 1ffc.com. All loan terms and APRs depend on meeting our underwriting and income criteria and may require collateral. Same-day approval and funding requires all requested documents by noon. First Franklin Financial Corporation, NMLS 141654. Georgia Residential Mortgage Licensee 5656. Not available in North Carolina.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. United States Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Generals Mark Milley, was supposed to be working for President Donald Trump instead. A report suggests he was intentionally trying to undermine the president. The New Yorker published an excerpt from the new book, The Divider, Trump in the White House, anti-Trump book from husband and wife reporters Susan Glasser and Peter Baker. In an excerpt, the authors claim Trump's now infamous photo in Washington, D.C.'s Lafayette Square almost caused Milley to resign. In the morning before the Lafayette Square, oh, I wish it had a square photo op, Trump had clashed with Milley, Attorney General William Barr, and Defense Secretary Mark Esper over his demands. And they said that Trump wanted 10,000 troops in the street and asked Milley if he could just shoot rioters in the legs or something. Okay, oh, brother. Okay, actress Annie Heck presumed to be under the influence. Okay, there you go. Well, Trump has previously been accused of ordering government officials to clear Lafayette Square so he could take a picture in front of a burned church. The story had been debunked. According to the New York Post, U.S. Park Police said they cleared the area because rioters attacked them while they were trying to erect a fence, not because Trump wanted a photo op. Park Police Acting Chief Gregory Monahan also denied using tear gas at that time, which was another accusation being thrown around. Glasser and Baker ignored the fact in their book. As they walked with the scent of their tear gas still in the air, Milley realized that he should not be there and made his exit quietly, peeling off to his waiting black Chevy Suburban, the authors claimed, but the damage was done. No one would care or even remember that he was not present when Trump held up a Bible in front of a damaged church because people had already seen him striding with the president, riding with the president along the Lafayette Square photo. Milley was planning to resign from his position, the author said. Well, I don't know if that was true. I hope it was. And Milley, if you're listening, it's not too late. Do it. Now, Joe, what do you know about medical martial law? Yep, you probably don't know.
Well, it sounds like it's when they give the power and authority over to, like, the CDC to control the people. Declare martial law would be lockdowns, masks, forced vaccinations. Martial law is when the government takes control of everything and dictates.
Well, let's just see. You just hang tight and take her away, Craig.
We're joined today by attorney Todd Callender, who's been on with us before here at Z Media. He has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the steps that the governments across the globe are taking in order to progress towards their new world order, their tyranny, the removal of patient rights, the removal of human rights. And I'm so looking forward to chatting with Todd today, especially considering we've just had monkeypox declared a state of emergency in the United States because of monkeypox. Todd, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here with you. Thank you, Maria.
It's always an honor. We have a lot to unpack today, Todd, and I think, you know, part of what I've been saying lately is I feel like a lot of people have gone back to sleep because, for the most part, from the outside, it kind of looks normal. You know, you can go back to a restaurant. A lot of people are able to go back to work. But the reality is that the steps that they are taking towards complete and utter tyranny, where what they did with COVID looks like, will look like child's play, as Dr. Zelenko once said, are happening as we speak. And we're going to talk about some of that today. But talk us through some of the most alarming things that you're spotting at the moment.
Yeah, what really got me concerned before this whole declaration came, the magic legal words, right? A public health emergency of international concern, was I did a word search in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2022 and the proposed one for 2023. And the search term was public health. And as you look through that, you will see public health is everywhere. And so you dig a little bit further, and what you find is that the public health responsibility is actually going underneath the U.S. Department of Defense. In fact, the Defense Health Agency. And I didn't even know it, but we've got a public health security agency in the U.S. Armed Forces. In fact, there are 6,000 officers already in it. This is a uniformed position. So as we see what's coming now with this latest declaration in our country, we knew it was going to happen because all of this is done by international convention, by treaty, multilateral treaty. So as soon as Tedros had actually made this declaration, which we knew he was going to do, we now know that every country is really duty bound, they're treaty bound to do the same. And you know, don't forget that he was actually outvoted by his board. It was 926 against, and he made the declaration anyway. And I can tell you why. The emergency powers of the United States were expiring in July of this year. They had to make this declaration because in order to keep the suspension of our Constitution, the suspension of human rights in place, and that's what these declarations do, they had to have a new one. So just what you said, the global tyranny continues, and now we are moving towards military, medical, martial law. And I think that just happened today.
I'd have to agree with you. And people always say when you use the words martial law, you know, we're not under martial law. You know, that's not true. No, we are heading towards military, medical, martial law. And what we have now is we have whoever's left in law enforcement or in the military has been injected. So God only knows whether they'll be able to be controlled now. And all of those who survive, Todd, will be the worst of the worst. No conscience. Yeah. Don't stand for anything.
Yeah, if we survive this. And I would ask those people, if they say to you, you know, we're not under martial law or accuse you of such, what exactly would you call this? Our human rights, our charter rights, our constitutional rights have been suspended. It's evident from the way that we've all been treated. We've been locked in our houses. That's called false imprisonment. We've been denied due process. We've been denied courts. We've been denied everything. And we get beat up by the police. I'm sorry, what would you call that other than martial law?
Correct. And I spoke about this recently as well. Last year, we had in the state of Victoria, Dictator Dan putting forward his own pandemic legislation, which sought to eliminate any sort of advisory committee or at least not have to consider what they say. He can declare a pandemic even if there's none present in Australia or the state of Victoria. This was a test run for what Tedros was planning to do with the World Health Organization. They tested it on us. We were the guinea pigs for that. And now they're rolling it out to the whole world. This is why I continue to say Australia is the testing ground for the New World Order because we're compliant and we just don't see, for the most part, what's going on.
For sure. You and Canada both. And I have to give you credit. I learned a lot from what we've seen in Australia and the way that, you know, some of you have got a lot of fight in you, a lot of spirit. And it's actually taught me some things, like, for instance, using criminal law to stop the implementation of 5G. I'm inspired to this day by how many Australians are filing pro se suits. I keep monitoring it and get involved now and again. The fight is absolutely fabulous, and it's actually helping the rest of us who are behind you to get some ideas on how to battle this ourselves.
That's wonderful. And I know that you've been working with Aussies. They've been proactive in reaching out to you. And I'm really glad to hear that. I want to bring up something here that you've sent me. So this is the public law, December 27, 2021, Public Law 17th Congress, an act. Talk to us about this document as I scroll through it for the audience.
That is the National Defense Authorization Act of 2022. That is what creates the budget for the U.S. Department of Defense. And our Congress has a habit of slipping in all kinds of goodies that they want to have in there, all in furtherance of their totalitarian control and removal of our constitutional rights bit by bit. You'll note that there are references to emergency powers. You'll see that there's also something really concerning called a public health security agency. And now there's a global public health agency that is going into the DOD. If you type in the search term public health, you'll find that it's replete. It's throughout that document. And the same is so for the National Defense Authorization Act of 2023. Effectively, Maria, what they're doing is they're moving the public health function from underneath the Department of Health and Human Services, who will still remain involved, but it's now going to be controlled by the Department of Defense and the Defense Health Agency in particular. So what they're doing is militarizing public health.
I think, Todd, just before you and I got on, I made you aware of something that I was made aware of here in Australia, which was that I've heard there are plans to remove the requirement for a state of emergency in order to do things like mandate vaccines, I also made you aware of this legislation that's coming to Queensland, but will be applied everywhere, which aims to completely obliterate the doctor-patient relationship in terms of that individual, but apply this whole of public response to the country. So everything that people said, you know, during this time, they said, oh, well, you know, but my doctor doesn't care. If they're being horrible towards me. That's going to increase because it's all about the common good, the greater good. This is what they're moving towards. And that's what keeps people in this hypnosis because they think that they're somehow helping others. But it's the complete dehumanization of people, including when it comes to your medical freedom. So this is essentially what this document is and what this decision by the Biden administration is. And it is coming everywhere.
Everywhere. And you can look at what the WHO says they're going to do. Those are the guideposts. And then be absolutely certain that every member country is going to do the exact same thing. And just what you said is really important. We're observing that now. I know Australians who are firsthand encountering this right now, where a psychiatrist, you know, governed by the laws of Australia, can take note of anybody even passing by and make a diagnosis and force that person to take psychotropic drugs. We now see that same thing in the budget of HHS. They're expanding the programs to do exactly what you said. They're changing the relationship. The doctor patient to the government patient and skipping any kind of medical art in between. And that's absolutely. And by the way, it's cradle to grave, including dental and everything else having to do with a human being.
I wish I had the document with me right now, Todd. I might have a quick search for it while we're chatting. This document was from 2019, which showed that one of the agendas for the Australian government was to ensure that 95% of the population were vaccinated. That's all vaccines. Yeah. At all times, 95%. This is why they had that incremental increase of, well, we want to get to 70% double dose. Oh, well, no, actually, we want 80. No, we want 85 all the way to 95, and that's when they let you have your freedom back. That's because that document was actually in place years before, and it was a conditioning tool for the fact that they want you to have lifelong vaccines. I don't know if you've seen the movie Equilibrium, Todd.
Yes.
This is what it reminds me of.
Predictive programming, right? They've been telling us what they're going to do for a very long time. And you're absolutely right. If you look at the budget of Health and Human Services for 2023, it's full of this one word over and over again called mandatory. And there are sections in there where they talk about adding compulsory shots, not just to the childhood vaccine index, but also to an adult version. So they will absolutely control all injectables, whether they're called vaccines or not, is almost irrelevant. They, you know, they reserve to themselves the right to genetically modify us ad hoc in any time they want. And the way I can arrive at this conclusion is because all of a month ago, the FDA, in agreeing that the mRNA monkeypox shot is FDA approved, so that one's coming too, said we no longer need to know what the mRNA proteins are, what that programming is for genetic modification. They don't care. They can put anything in there they want to. And by the way, I'd sent you some of the formulations that we expect that you will see in there, including adenovirus for Marburg or Ebola. These are already prepared. They're already patented, and there's nothing stopping them from putting those in there.
It is... As we're speaking, I'm just going through, Todd, to see if I can bring it up for the audience. The document that I was talking about was actually from 2018. I'm just finding the page here. It's on page 18 of the document, and it literally says 95%. And the it's limitless. What they want to do is absolutely limitless in terms of just ongoing vaccinations. You've spoken a lot about Marburg. This will be the next scare. There's always going to be a further scare. Unfortunately, I can't bring that document up for the audience now, but if people go to my Telegram, type in 95%, search through, you'll find it. It'll be constant public health scares because the health scares work. The health scares are what have been proven, according to even the NIH, to be the most effective thing towards controlling the population. It works better than controlling your finances, actually.
That's right. It's a control paradigm. And you can actually look at what happened in the Department of Defense in the United States, which is one of the reasons I sued them. When Secretary Austin actually required the experimental shots be provided to all of the military without exception, he authorized the use of force. You know, that wasn't by mistake. The only reason why we were able to stop them to do that is because these are experimental shots. What happens the next time when all mRNA shots are effectively approved? That's what the FDA has said. There is no stopping them. They will be compulsory, and they will have the power of the military to do it. Again, if you go look at the HHS budget, you will find that the goal of the exercise is to address public health anywhere in the world within 36 hours.
Which is, how does that line up with how does that line up with the WHO treaty?
Well, so this is what happened in May of this year. They had the 75th Congress, effectively, of the WHO, the 75th meeting, whereby member nations went there in order to capitulate and hand over their national sovereignty to the WHO. The reality is they already had done that. When they signed into the WHO in 1948, they all pledged that they would abide by whatever it was the WHO came up with. The only proviso to that was the U.S. actually had a caveat, a proviso said that so long as it's constitutional. My understanding is that's also been given away. So in short, the director of the WHO can find even a suspicious sniffle, if he wanted to, in any part of the planet, and all the member nations have to support that. So if that was in Timbuktu, the United States military would be equally obliged to the people in Timbuktu to go and treat that in accordance with the WHO's directions. So it's an omnipotent power. They've now taken over control of the entire planet through public health with compulsory policies and all of the funding and all the military might behind it.
Yes, I've brought up one of the documents that you sent me, which has some of the highlights of the working draft. And I just want to read through some of this for the audience. So it says here, governance mechanisms could include enabling collaboration and cooperation across the United Nations systems and other international and regional and intergovernmental organizations and non-state actors and bodies as a means of strengthening the implementation of the agreement. Then it goes on to say universal health coverage is mentioned 11 times in this document as a goal to combat and respond to pandemics. 11 times mentioned in the document. Now, that's the stuff that you're talking about here, Todd. You're talking about the fact that they really are taking the steps to militarize public health all over the globe.
That's right. With the enforcement of whatever military happens to be handy. Right, they're all equally obliged to do this. So that, you know, you might remember in Ottawa or frankly in Canberra, right, when the C-141s, the white ones, showed up with UN mercenaries. Those are NATO troops. Those are UN troops. They could be from anywhere. And now you find in the case of the U.S. military, 25% or so of them are separating because they won't take the shots. Well, you know what? Those positions are getting filled by people who aren't even legal immigrants, who may not speak English and don't have a high school diploma. Those are replacement troops. And you can be absolutely assured the exact same thing is happening in your country.
Yes, it is. They've already told us. I mean, they started doing that last year when we had shortages of healthcare staff. They started importing migrants to replace our homegrown Aussies that were faithfully serving for years, decades, with migrants. And you can't even rely on the skill sets of these people half the
time. No, they're unimportant. Hitler did the exact same thing in 1937. He used the brown shirts to drive a wedge between local people, local law enforcement, and local military for the purpose of bringing in foreign troops, just like what happened in Canada. The mercenaries got off the airplanes. They put on local police uniforms and started beating the hell out of people. I believe that happened in Canberra as well. The idea is that the locals will have a relationship that might protect, you know, each other. So they have to replace them. They have to get rid of them. And that's what's happening right now.
It's unbelievable. I just want to go back to this document here. So, further down, it says that data sharing, well, let's talk about this double speak here. Data sharing across government and industries is a foundation of the governance plan and is being referred to as transparency. Anytime that you see this kind of language of transparency, inclusivity, we're all in this together, this is exactly what they did to us during the plandemic,
right?
You know, making it sound like we were all contributing to this goal of combating this virus together. That's the same thing that they're doing here. That's the same thing that they do when they address misinformation.
And it's more nefarious than that. So if you look up the WHO, you'll find that they have a telecommunications and information systems division whose job it is to share that data all around the world. Don't you find it odd that it specifically mentions telecommunications as key stakeholders? That's the same people putting up 5G around the world. Those are the same people drawing up NIST-compliant policies and procedures for everybody's vaccine passport. Right? All of this is being driven through the WHO on exigent circumstances because there's an emergency. There's always an emergency. There always will be an emergency. There's not going to be any elections in the United States in November for the very same reasons.
I'm very interested to see what happens in the United States. And of course, we've been speculating that they'll be doing mail-in ballots, which opens up the opportunity for election fraud, or they would just, you know, call off the election, say that because it's an emergency. The worst thing for the world right now is Biden. And I've been saying for a while, I mean, when I say the worst thing for the world right now is Biden, I'll explain what I mean by that. America, the superpower of the West, the country that, you know, really leads the world in so many ways, if they can destroy the leader of the West, the rest of the West will tumble. And that's what they're trying to do. They need to destroy the West in order to create the New World Order. Oh, I think we've lost you there.
Well, they're doing it actually in a variety of ways, one of which is according to the law of war. Sorry, how do you hear me now?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
The law of war indicates in the Fourth Hague Convention that when an alien occupier takes over substantial government functions of the target country, that country is therefore no more. So here, police forces across the United States doing the exact same thing, bringing in illegal aliens to occupy police forces. And then you look at who the president of the United States is, he's very clearly compromised to the Chinese. It seems to me, for purposes of the law of war, the United States has already been destroyed.
You're not wrong, Todd. And sometimes I don't want to say those things. I don't want to say the words, we're already in the midst of the New World Order. But the reality is we are. And we have to be honest about this. We can see just how far they've come. And we've seen this huge acceleration since the failure of the injections and people started to realize We've seen this enormous acceleration. You know, this government here in Australia, straight away onto climate change now. We've got foot and mouth disease. I was on with Stu Peters just this morning reporting on that. You know, a climate emergency. Biden's declared a climate emergency. The UK has declared a climate emergency. They are operating in lockstep until the time when they next lock you down. So, just on this WHO treaty, because we're still, you know, we don't know that they said they were going to have it open to the public, but of course they're not doing that. They might do it last minute like they did last time, or they might just say, oh, well, you know, we can just do whatever we want, because that's how they're behaving now, all of them. We just do whatever we want. What else do we need to be aware of here, Todd?
Well, I would also take note that the OECD, the Organization of Economic and Cooperative Development, is the tax and fiscal policy arm of the United Nations. They've already harmonized everybody's tax code, everybody's medical codes, everybody's commercial codes. It's already done. And they have the giant information matrix called Common Reporting Standards, whereby everybody's private information as it relates to anything of value, accounts, stocks, bonds, or whatever, is now held by the OECD. And they are controlling tax and fiscal policy. In January 1 of 2016, all member nations capitulated their sovereignty over tax and fiscal policy to the OECD. You need look no further than in your own country and every other country that joined for the quote-unquote competent authority. That is the OECD's designee. That is who runs the country. Our prime ministers don't mean anything other than some, you know, public facade. The real power is already in place, right? The WHO is just in charge of our biological entities. But the OECD already has control of everybody's money, everybody's resources. So we're in the last steps here, Maria. We now have the opportunity. The world has now finally had a chance to see behind the curtain. We have this fraud called monkeypox as a public health emergency. What a bunch of nonsense. And if people can't wake up from this and understand this, if they can't, in the United States, it's Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, we get to do our government over. And there's been a lot of Australians asking me to help them do the exact same thing there. If we don't do this, this is our last chance. That's it. Go dig the hole and wait for the end. We're here.
Okay. I want to get into what people can do. I want to get into some of what you're doing. A lot of people feel like it's too great a giant, Todd, and there's nothing that can be done. They're so far progressed. And, you know, I talked to... Sorry, what was that?
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I don't think that's true, but go ahead. You were talking to somebody.
Well, I spoke to Martin Armstrong recently. He's an economist. Yeah. And he says, you know, he really thinks Schwab will fail. And he's banking on the fact that the Marxist ideology really has never been successful. Authoritarian governments have never actually been successful for very long. But I would argue that they've never had the systems in place that they do today. Yuval Noah Harari says we now have the systems in place that you know, dictators of the past only dreamed of. And we can control you and manipulate. He says that we can manipulate people. He just doesn't even bother to hide that anymore. So I'm, you know, when people look at these facts, and we have to be real about it, we can't lie to ourselves. When people look at these facts, they feel like it's all too overwhelming and you just can't do anything about it. What do you say to that?
I say the owners haven't changed, right? Noah Harari, the World Economic Forum, those are just the faces. The owners have always been the same. They've been controlling us for thousands of years. When we reached 1 billion people on this planet, we were uncontrollable and they started plotting ways to reduce the population. We outgrew it. So here with this this genocide in progress, I figure they probably killed about half the world's population because about half the world actually took the shots. Maybe it's not that much. That's still a heck of a lot more than 1 billion people. We have the opportunity to stand and opt out, and all things are local. Without law enforcement, there is no law. So we have to be able to get to those in uniform, whether they're military or whether they're police or even low-level government, all things local. We get to them, we co-opt them, we get them to understand there's no escaping. Right? You can't run to another country. There is no place to go. It's 196 countries agreed to this, including the Cairo Accords, the depopulation accords in 1994. They have agreed to kill us off. Our choice now is what are we going to do about it? And the short answer is we're too many for them to control at the top. A central market, a unified currency, all of that will not work with this many people. So what we do is we opt out. We say, no, we're not going to do it. And in the case of the United States, we get close with our sheriffs, close with our military. We educate them and let them know that your family's not safe either. And you know what? Here's the good news. And at least in the U.S. military, we found out that 25% of those remaining in uniform after the 25% went out, particularly the special forces units, said, no, we are not going to cooperate. The WHO is not our master. We swore an oath to our Constitution. And we have to go back to sovereignty, taking our sovereignty back, starting in our county, starting with our local cops. And from there, it will flow. And we can simply invalidate these federal jerks. I'll be nice about it. These federal people who seek to control us, right? Federal and international NGO people, they don't count. And there's a handful of them. We don't have to go along with it, Maria. We just have to have the political will.
We don't have to go along with it. But Todd, there are so many people that just don't care. They just live their lives. And I'm just being completely transparent here.
Well, I'll be completely transparent. They're all walking dead, too, because they're the ones that took the shots. Right? Half the world didn't take the shots. You look at the size of India and Africa in particular, it's between 2 and 15% of those two continents that actually took the shots. That's a whole lot of people. And by the way, they're not easily controlled as it is. So we have to throw away this notion of brown versus white, Republican versus Democrat. That's nonsense. Right now, it's humanity uniting to save ourselves, to save our species. And we can link up and we can do that. We can cross borders, we can cross languages, and that's exactly what we've got to do.
It's a very important point that you just make. Half the world took the shots. They've lied to us about the numbers. We know that.
Yeah.
And we know that because of official data that's come out, for example, out of the UK, that showed that something like 50 million hadn't even had one dose.
Right.
We know that because of how many people turn up at a protest. We know that because of how many people are now saying, no, we're not going for any more shots.
That's our hope. That's our hope, Maria, right there. The veil is being lifted. People are finally seeing it. And frankly, this monkeypox thing could be a catalyst because when they come out and say, do you have to take a monkeypox vaccine for, a gay disease, because even the WHO admits it's 98% transmitted between homosexual men. You know, that's enough for a lot of people to say, no, I'm not going to give my kid the shot. I'm not taking it either. I think this is the straw that breaks the camel's back, the one that unites humanity to help them understand what the paradigm is, everything we're talking about right here. And when you get military marching down the street with the monkeypox shots, I think that's where this all ends. It's absurd.
It is absurd.
And yet, they have to do this, Maria. That's the thing that's funny. You know, if you look at their playbook, they have things they've got to accomplish and they've got timelines. Klaus Schwab and Antonio Gutierrez agreed to move forward the 2030 requirements to right now. They're not prepared for this. And the further they push, the harder they push, the more it becomes obvious. This is our chance to say no more right now.
I agree with you. I was just talking last night on Instagram Live about Twitter. And it's going crazy with what I think are probably mostly bot accounts, but of course some people believe it, saying that the CDC deleted evidence.
Alrighty, we are back. And this is kind of what he's been saying, Joe, is what we've been trying to tell people. You have to, first of all, we are not under absolutely no obligation at all right now to recognize any authority of the FBI, the Justice Department, or any, because the very fact is they have violated. In fact, we, the people of the United States of America, we have, it's our job. It's our duty to remove these people. Now, I got an article here very quickly. This is by J.D. Hayes, and he talks about American symbolism. And he says, an FBI whistleblower has provided stunning new evidence to Project Veritas showing that the Bureau is hyper-focused on conservative-leaning Americans and organizations, while left-wing groups like Antifa and John Brown Gun Club are left on their own to grow, train, and plot societal disruptions in the near future. Well, of course, we obviously know that. According to Project Veritas, a document leaked to the group shows that the Bureau and the fascist, bullying, insurrectionist, that's FBI, classifies American citizens it deems to be potential militia violent extremists. That's you and me, Joe. That's us. You know, like the highly dangerous seditionist the Bureau formed are framed in a bogus plot to kidnap Democratic Communist Governor Gretchen Whitmer in the run-up to the 2020 election, which Deep State stole from Donald Trump. And that's exactly what they did. The document, the FBI cites symbols, images, phrases, events, and individuals that agents should look out for when identifying alleged domestic terrorists. I want to stop there for a minute, Joe, and remember when Ted Gunderson was heading up the FBI there, he told me, he said, Pastor, my biggest fear is those rogue agents within the agency, those rogue, those corrupt. And back then, when he was, most of the agents were good people. They were decent people. But the rogue agents, the corrupt agents, are what stayed in. They infiltrated like a parasite, and they moved themselves up to the top. And today we got Christopher Wray there. He goes on to say, Project Veritas continued in a press release, which added, the unclassified law enforcement sensitive document says it is for FBI internal use only. It goes on to say, one note under the symbol sections, a prominent citation of the Second Amendment where it explains that MVEs justify their existence with the Second Amendment due to the mention of a well-regulated militia as well as the right to bear arms. Below that section, another labeled commonly referenced historical imagery and quotes, the FBI documents list Revolutionary War images like the Gadsden flag and the Betsy Ross flag, which accompanied by each description of how the FBI views them. In other words, the Don't Tread on Me flag and the Betsy Ross flag, they consider you and I, all patriots, all patriotic Americans, as their enemies. Go ahead.
Things from our founding fathers. This is the answer. This is the reason. This is, well, you'll know when I read it. Ben Franklin, man will ultimately be governed by God or tyrants. Patrick Henry, it is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. How about George Washington in his first inaugural address? The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. And we've got quotes like that from, you know, basically Lincoln, Madison. And here's what we have to do, all of us. And this comes from James Lowell. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side, some great cause, some great decision, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever twixt the darkness and the light. Then it is the brave man chooses, while the coward stands aside. God's looking like the Marines for a few brave men right now to stand, run to the battle, fight the good fight. Amen.
Amen. We'll be back after this.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he calls it, for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Aliyabow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide.
So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." I believe that that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America. All righty, we're back. We're back. Phone lines are open now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. And let's go to Mac in PA. Hey, Mac.
Hey, thank you, Pastor, for taking my call. Listen, I called about a couple weeks ago about the imprecatory prayer, and somebody called in right away about what scriptures. So I'm going to give those scriptures real quick. The first one is about prayer and fasting, and that's found in Mark 9 and verse 29. The second one is for the imprecatory prayer as far as calling against these people that God would just kill them all, is the things that God hates. And it says, "And he that soweth discord among brethren," that's found in Proverbs 6 and verse 19, the second part. Then you have Luke 18 in the New Testament, verses 1 to 8, where the widow is calling for vengeance. Then you have Psalm 70, where he's asking the Lord to turn those that, to put them to confusion that desire is hurt. So there's plenty of prayer there. But as far as this prayer and fasting, we need to get on board with that now instead of waiting until 9/11, because Jesus Christ said this kind can go forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. An evangelist who's listening to me right now, his name is Ron Garlick. He's with the Spanish Sword of the Lord called La Espada. He listened to that message, "This Kind," by Jack Hiles, and he was blown away, because in that message, if you go to Jack Hiles' preaching and the message, "This Kind," you'll hear shattering testimonies of how the leading bootlegger in Bloody Bucket, Texas, came to Christ along with 11 others, how he stayed up all night praying and fasting, and he thought it was the worst sermon ever, and then he walked out and miracles happened. A woman who had a brain tumor the size of a golf ball, the doctor said he was stupid. She said, "Why don't you get out of here so he can pray for me?" The doctor comes back in an hour and said, "There's no tumor." I mean, it's on and on and on. They got those scriptures, you got Mark 9:29, and you got the message by Dr. Jack Hiles preaching, "This Kind." And thank you for letting me clarify that. I hope everybody got it. Pray and fast. That's what's going to turn it around. We're way past the man with a demon-possessed child. We got a satanic government. We need to get on that right now. God bless.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Mac. All right. And by the way, there's a lot of imprecatory prayers, both in the old, more in the Old Testament, obviously, but than the New. But they're there in the New Testament, too. And again, the Bible says, "Be angry, but sin not." Be angry. He's talking about righteous indignation, and we need to have that. And if there's anyone that ever displayed righteous indignation, Well, you saw what our Lord did when he went into the temples twice and turned over the money changers and whipped them with the cat of nine tails. And that's nothing compared to what he's going to do when he comes back. It's going to be, well, it's not going to bode well for those very, very corrupt tyrants out there. All righty. Let's go to, well, we have, go ahead, Joe. Do you want to say something before we take Jack out in San Diego?
Oh, I was just, go ahead and take Jack. This might take too long.
Hey, Jack, you're in the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Of course, the Trumps are going to be worried about planting evidence. I think they're also going to feel violated. I don't know if they're going to be able to live in that same place again, because in a way they were robbed, and people often feel violated after they've been robbed. But more than that, they have to know that one of the reasons why they didn't want the lawyers in, they didn't want the security cameras on, they didn't want anybody watching what they were doing, was that they have bugged the place. And this is going to be the most sophisticated listening devices known to mankind, the stuff that the NSA uses. They're never going to find them. And
well, I don't know. They're already, Trump's team's already on top of that. You do have bug sweepers where, you know, you can detect these things. But right now, you're right. They're very, very sophisticated. They're very small, and they're easy to hide in places, especially not just the listening devices, but cameras, too.
Well, there was a case years ago. I'm not sure if I have it exactly right, but it was something like we had built some type of building for diplomats in Russia, and the Russians bugged it, and it was so pervasive, they had to tear the building down and rebuild it. They couldn't get rid of all the listening devices. And I'm saying the Trumps, I mean, how do you live in a place where you think you're being listened to? Some of the listening devices that they have today are so sophisticated they can't, and so small, like nano small, that they can't be detected.
Well, you know, I know that. But, you know, Jack, people like President Trump, they're very well aware of this, no matter what, just like us. You know, my office and that, my car, and my phone, everything, you know, gets bugged. They listen to everything. And so what happens is you get to the point where you know that, and people, you purposely out there in your conversations and that can give them disinformation. You can do to them, you know, say things, and they have a hard time figuring it out. But you know that. I mean, we're living in a world.
Go along with that. I don't know if Melania will want to live there, but we'll see. We'll see if they occupy the residence in Mar-a-Lago again, or if they choose not to go back there. It's not going to be the same. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I wouldn't.
You know the.
Buddy.
The Mar-a-Lago is so big that I'm sure that President Trump probably just occupied a very small portion of that.
Right. I mean,
you know, if not
to live in another villa, but I just don't see them going back to that villa. I just I don't think they would feel comfortable, especially Melania. I mean, I heard they went through her clothing. Why would they do that? Because they're going to be putting listening devices.
And then intimidation. The other part is not just the listening. It's to intimidate, to also scare you and to scare others that might be willing to stand for Trump. They're trying to use all the bullying and intimidation they can because they are so afraid of the November elections.
Well, according to World News Daily, Joe, according to World News Daily, they're saying, and Gabe Kaminsky, he says, urgent right-to-know motion has been filed. The right-to-know motion has been filed to unseal the FBI search warrant on Trump home. See, that to see exactly what that corrupt, that extremely corrupt prostitute called a judge, this extremely corrupt prostitute called the judge, who, by the way, was involved with the Epstein clan. Okay, but anyhow, what exactly was in that order? So,
bring this up, and we'll see whether they go back and live in that residence again or not. And if they don't, I think it's because they feel violated, and they're going to worry that anything they say could be, you know, recorded, listened to, and used against them.
All righty. Very good. Conservative Watchdog filed a motion yesterday urging a district court to unseal the FBI search warrant on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in Palm Beach, Florida. And don't ever say former president. Right now he's the president. Given the political context and highly unusual action of executing a search warrant at the residence of president and likely a future political opponent, it is essential that the public understands as soon as possible the basis of the government's action, states the motion, which was filed by Judicial Watch in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida. Any government interest in securing the identities of witnesses of confidential sources, if any, may be addressed by appropriate redactions from the search warrant affidavit, according to the motion. FBI, that's fascist, bullying, insurgents, agents, executed the warrant on Trump's residence in connection to an ongoing U.S. Department of Injustice investigation. About 15 boxes of President Trump's property and other items the president allegedly took from the White House. The President's Records Act was signed in 1978 that requires records related to the Oval Office to be preserved and kept by the National Archives and Record Administration. Nobody told Hillary Clinton and Billy about
Bill,
that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What did you say we have here? Okay, let's go to Monty. Monty, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor Ernie, Joe.
Hello, Monty.
Hello, yes, you guys got one of a kind show there.
Well, thank you.
I got this, I heard a couple of people talk about this, and I'm sure you all already covered it, but if you did already, I apologize. Trump maybe has proof of names of those involved with Epstein and Pizzagate.
He sure does. This, absolutely. The Democratic Communist Party is up to their eyeballs in pedophilia. And Trump knows all that. Trump has all of that. And so this is why they fear him so bad. And so, and this is what
and if he knows the truth is what they fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's exposed for what they are.
Exactly. And he has all the names and everything. So, okay, I just want to make sure that I missed it, but.
No. Yeah, we've been on top of this for a long time. You know, we've been on. All righty. Even before they stole the election, we were on top of that. Now, the reason they hate him so much. All right, thank you, Monty. Let's see. We have Steve. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, you were on top of everything before it happened.
You're the last call for tonight, but go ahead.
I'm going to make it fast. So, who's the speakers, the tape you had, the 20 minutes or so you ran? I missed the beginning couple minutes, but what was their names, or where was
that? That's Todd Callender. He's a lawyer, and Maria Z is an Australian talk show host. And boy, can that woman talk fast. I mean,
that was ground shaking.
Yep.
And your last caller before there, the two up back with the bugs, you know, for Trump and all that, he brought up some good points there. So Trump's got to get out on the golf course about 90% more. So that's where a lot of business is done. But real fast, if you go on YouTube, go search back 40 years. They talk about President Trump in his early 30s. You think he might be running for president? I mean, he is on Letterman. He's all over. But all you have to do is just search Donald Trump. It all comes up. They've been talking about him being president since his early 30s. So he's been thinking about being president since his late 40s, something like that. And so they must have known something. But I'll tell you what, he knows so much more than what's going on outside of yourself. But he needs you to be his personal pastor. And you too, Pastor. So all you guys are unbelievable. So God calendar. God bless you guys, and God surround you all with protective angels.
All right. Thanks, Steve. God bless. All right. We are. How much time do I have?
3.5
Okay. Well, we're running out of time again tonight like we normally do. But it's been a fast, a very, very fast 2 hours. But anyhow, it all boils down. And, when, you know, when we were telling the FBI, telling those guys they need to repent, you know, a lot, some of them will smirk and some of them will laugh. Others won't. Others will say, you know what, he's probably right. I mean, I know he's right. What am I going to do? Listen, you know, if you think that you're going to be, you don't want to be embarrassed in front of your friends. You know, right now, I'll tell you what, you go to probably most of these FBI agencies, and if you are a Christian in there, you're probably not going to tell anybody. Because if you do, you won't be there very long, more than likely. But I'm going to tell you this, if you are out there, and you people that know FBI agents, you need to tell them, you know, and not just FBI agents, but all of those, especially in the IRS, that, that again, they need to repent. There's nothing honorable in what you're doing. You have come to a position where a once honorable agency has gotten bad. It's rotten to the core. It's gotten rotten to the core. And that same thing happens with a lot of agencies out there. And the Bible clearly says to come out from amongst them, be you separate from them. Now, that also applies to this entire world. You people out there listening to me, out there when, you know, the Bible says we're to be in this world, but not of it. And we, you know, we're telling you, I mean, I can tell you, I can't make you, you know, believe, but I can tell you what you will believe, that the day will come. Everybody listening to me, and even those that aren't listening tonight, you're going to believe every single word that proceeded from the mouth of God, every single word. And so we often tell you there's no unbelievers in heaven or hell, and there's not a one. The bottom line is, forget all of this out there. God's word is the ultimate authority. God's word is the ultimate source of knowledge and truth. God's word here. It's been around for thousands of years, and the enemy has done everything he can trying to get rid of the word of God, trying to stop it. And yet God said that heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. And he also said that he was given his preachers, that he would keep his preachers there, and his preachers would continue to preach that gospel, even though all of the forces of hell were going to be against us. Well, today they are. All the forces of hell are against us. But we're going to continue to preach this. And so what the Word of God makes it very, very clear, you're going to die. And when you die, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. You don't want to go to the latter. And what you can do is you can repent of your sin, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness. If you do that, pray to Father God, ask for forgiveness. Then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And then if you do that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And at that point, you'll be on your road to on the road to immortality. You have God's word on it. Do it. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
First Franklin Financial is now open in Millington, offering fixed-rate personal loans up to $15,000 with payment plans to fit any budget. Our same-day approval makes it easy to get your money fast. So the next time you need a personal loan, we're located on Wilkinsville Road in Millington, or visit us at 1ffc.com. All loan terms and APRs depend on meeting our underwriting and income criteria and may require collateral. Same-day approval and funding requires all requested documents by noon. First Franklin Financial Corporation, NMLS 141654. Georgia Residential Mortgage License C56556. Not available in North Carolina.